Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest the alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Lord, standing before you is a tired group of people, but an obedient group of people. And Lord, we've had such a wonderful day. Lord, we've seen more happen in our church today than most churches see in a year. God, we sure hope you had a good day today. Lord, I pray that you be with our preacher, fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives so that we could go out and help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Earlier, we read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. I'm going to add to it two verses that are found later in the same chapter. Matthew 6:16 says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward." Matthew 6:18 then says, "That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." In Matthew chapter number 6, we see the word reward used 7 different times. The sermon tonight is called How to Lose Your Rewards. We've had an amazing day here at the church. This morning, as I said earlier, 1,327 people in Sunday school. Just the fact that 103 people walked the aisle trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior is incredible. But you know, many of those came as a result of some personal soul winning. Now, God rewards soul winners. And folks, we have the privilege of having some rewards. I'd hate to see any of us lose the rewards that God has promised us. Now, this message tonight is about the loss of rewards, but it's not about the loss of salvation, because you can't lose your salvation. I said that this morning. I'm going to say it again tonight. You can know that you're saved. Ours is a know-so salvation, not a hope-so. There are many times, 6 times in the Bible, God tells us that we can know that we have eternal life, or we know there are certain things that we'll participate in because we're saved. Listen to these. I'm going to read 6 verses to you very quickly, but notice God is giving us an assurance about this thing. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And it tells us right there, it says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God." Then in 2 Corinthians 5:1 it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven." God keeps saying, "There, you can know these things. You can know this. It's not a I think so or I hope so. It's a I know so salvation that we have." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. God again gives us an assurance. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? The world shall be judged by you. Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? God keeps saying, there's some things you know. You can know you're going to participate in this. You can know that you're going to do this this act or this deed for God in the future. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're saved and you're laboring for God, it's not in vain, and you can know that. You can know that for a fact. Now, we do not lose our salvation, but we could lose our joy. We do not lose our salvation, but we could lose His blessing on our life currently. We do not lose our salvation, but we could lose our peace. We do not lose our salvation, but we could lose our rewards. Folks, God graciously allows us to serve Him. Get this. Then He even more graciously turns around and rewards us for serving Him. Boy, that we've got it made. But how wasteful to pay the price to earn a reward and then waste that reward or give that reward up or to lose that reward. Let me give you some historical things if I could here. In 1912 in the Olympics, an Olympic track participant named Jim Thorpe won a gold medal in the decathlon event. But it was retracted because the rules of that day was that participants could not have earned money in their event as a professional prior to the Olympics. And he lost his reward. How sad. Anybody that knows anything about training for the thing called the decathlon, can you imagine what the guy put into winning that medal? But he lost his reward. In 1988, Olympic runner Ben Johnson won the gold medal for the 100-meter run. 3 days later, it was retracted because he failed his drug test. What happened? He lost his reward. In the 2000 Olympics, a lady runner by the name of Marion Jones won 6 Olympic medals, 6 of them. She was days later charged with drug abuse, check fraud, and perjury, and they made her return all 6 medals. What happened? She lost her reward. In 2008, an Olympic runner by the name of Abrahamin of Sweden, he was a wrestler. He won the bronze medal. He felt like, though, when they gave him the bronze, that he was cheated by the judges. After he received his medal in front of the crowd, he threw it on the mat, and he walked off disgusted, and they took his medal away from him, and he lost his reward. Recently, American Lindsey Vonn had to forfeit her gold medal. The International Olympic Committee announced that it had taken back the gold medal previously awarded to the American, and she was a downhill skier. They took the award away from her and gave it to President Barack Obama. Let me say it again. The Olympic Committee announced today that they have taken that gold medal away from downhill skier Lindsey Vonn and they've given it to Barack Obama. You say, why? The Olympic official says Obama deserves a medal more than Vonn because nobody has ever gone downhill faster than he has. Now, so you know that one's not true. That one's not true. Now the others are. But I just couldn't pass up the opportunity. Now, if you'll listen quickly, I'll speak quickly. You're tired. I want you to be able to go home. And I want to get to the end of the service so you can eat your jerky. But I want to tell you some things that the Bible teaches about how we can lose our rewards. How we can lose our rewards. First of all, we can lose our rewards by following deceivers. By following deceivers. 2 John verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says this. It says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. You see, this passage warns us that people will try to deceive us about Jesus. Let me explain something. Jesus is the Son of God. And anybody that denies that is an antichrist and they're a deceiver. Don't get involved with them. You'll lose your reward. God said, I'll not tolerate that. I'm not put up with that. We will lose our reward if we allow people to minimize God's Son in our thinking. God won't tolerate His Son's glory being reduced in our thinking. If you find someone that is minimizing Jesus and you get involved or you support them, God said, I'll take your reward away from you. I'm not going to let you minimize Jesus. Hey, folks, Jesus was virgin born. Anybody that minimizes that, you better stay away from them. You'll lose your reward. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. Sinless Son of God. Anybody that tells you anything different, you better get away from them. You'll lose your reward. Jesus was the walking Word of God. Jesus bodily arose from the grave. Jesus is what Christmas is all about. And we better not let anybody minimize Jesus, because God said, when you get around the deceivers who minimize Jesus, I will take from you your reward. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. Hey, you can lose your reward if you get around people that minimize the name of Jesus. Number two, the Bible tells us that we can lose our reward by being man-pleasers. By being man-pleasers. Let me read to you Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1, it tells us that if we serve men instead of God, we will lose our reward. Now listen, God tells us here in Colossians 3:22, He says we are to serve our human masters. We are to serve our human leaders. He tells us, though, to do it for the Lord, not for the man. So when you are obedient to that human leader, you are doing it out of respect and in honor of the Lord. You're not doing it just for, you're not doing it just for the boss. You're doing it for the big boss, the boss's boss. I am to follow my human leader for God's sake and God's glory. Hey, don't do what you do for men, but do it for God. Those of you that work in the nursery, do your nursery duty for God, not for man. Do your bus route for God, not for man. God warns us that if we serve man for God, then God promises us if we will serve man, but we do it for God, we'll get rewarded. But He said, if you serve man for the sake of man, I'll take your reward away from you. You see, this doesn't teach anarchy against human leadership. It does teach us to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Everything we do, we ought to do it to the glory of God. Everything we do, choir members, you ought to listen to the instruction of Brother Nash. You ought to obey his instruction. But wait a minute, you do it in honor of Jesus Christ. You don't do it because you like Greg Nash, and I know you don't. But you don't do it because of Brother Nash. You do it because Brother God. That's how we're supposed to do it. So God said, you'll lose your reward. If you follow deceivers about Jesus, you'll lose your reward. If you serve and you become a man-pleaser instead of a God-pleaser. Thirdly, we can lose our reward by worshiping angels. Colossians 2:18 says, let no man beguile you, that's trick, beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. God is saying here, we can lose our rewards by worshiping angels. You see, only God deserves our worship. We talk about this thing called a guardian angel. Now, we may have one, but we're never to worship a guardian angel, and we're never to talk more about angels than we talk about Jesus. Angels were created by God, and we are to worship the Creator, not the created. There are angels, folks. The angels are real. But they're not to be given a bunch of attention. You don't see the angels being worshipped a bunch in the Bible or anything. But we're to worship the Lord God. And people, especially in this society that's so religious, they want to make a great big old deal out of angels. I want to make a great big old deal out of Jesus. Angels are not to be given a bunch of attention. Jesus is the one that's to receive the great attention. And God said, you start giving a bunch of angels attention, I'll take your reward. Because I think God knew angels were special created beings, and people might have the tendency to go after maybe worshiping those angels and bypass the one that's really supposed to get our worship, which is God. I don't want you to lose your reward. Listen. Hollywood often puts angels in their shows. Look, if Hollywood were sincere, they say, well, look at that. Right there, we were showing some spirituality by putting this show about angels on the television. They really want to show some sincerity about spirituality. Well, if they do some shows about Jesus, but they don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. They don't want to go on TV and talk about Jesus and let's show all about Jesus. They don't want that. So they'll try to help people to worship angels instead of the one that created the angels. And God said, you may lose your reward. You may lose your reward. See, we can lose our reward, number one, by following deceivers that minimize Jesus. Number two, we can lose our reward by being men pleasers instead of God pleasers. Number three, we can lose our reward by worshiping angels. Number four, the Bible tells us that we can lose our reward by not looking to ourselves. By not looking to ourselves. Let me read a verse to you. 2 John 1:8, it says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Hear it? Look not to yourselves. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Now, it talks here that if you don't look to yourself, you're going to lose part of your reward. You won't get a full reward, or you may lose those things which you have worked for. That's what it means when it says those things which we have wrought. You say, look to yourselves. What does that mean? Well, you better keep an eye on yourself.
Yes, sir.
That's what it means. Look to yourself. What's it mean? Keep an eye on yourself. You attend to your obedience. Keep pressure on yourself about doing right. Be your own watchdog. Take responsibility for your own behavior. Look, folks, those that will live one way on the church property and live another way off the church property, you're not watchdogging yourself. Say, well, if the preacher's around, I'll talk a certain way. But when the preacher's not around, I'll talk in a way that would be disappointing to the Lord. You better look to yourself or you're going to lose your reward. Folks, there can't be somebody with you 24-7 to make sure you do right. You're with you 24-7. You have the Bible available 24-7. You have the Holy Spirit available 24-7. You better look to yourself and you better make sure you do right. God is saying, keep an eye on yourself. Put the pressure on yourself. Hey, you know you better than us all. You know what you are really like. You had better control the you that the rest of us do not see. I'm going to tell you all something. This may be one of the areas that sincere Christians lose reward the most in, and that is when we're away from everybody, that's when we let our carnal nature run wild. And though nobody sees it, God does. And God said, if you don't keep after you, you're going to lose rewards. Look to yourself when you're off the church property. Look to yourself when you're home alone. Look to yourself when you're not around the church folks. Look to yourself when nobody else can see you. If you don't look to yourself, attend to yourself, watchdog yourself, put restraints on yourself, you tell you to do right. If you'll do that, you'll get your full reward. What else? Number five. We can lose our reward by not abiding in Him. By not abiding in Him. 1 John 2:28 says, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and nothing be ashamed before Him at His coming. See, when He appears, we want to have to please Him with our life's accomplishments. When we face Jesus, I don't know about you, but I'd like to face Him, and I'd like for Him to have been pleased with what I've accomplished in my life. Now, no rewards will be no pleasing. You've heard the verse, or you've heard someone say, that person was saved by the skin of their teeth. It'd be a sad thing that we would be saved, but when we got to heaven, all we were was saved, and we had not done a bunch of work and accomplished something for the Lord. When the Bible teaches that we can actually earn crowns, rewards that we can cast at His feet. While everybody else is casting crowns at His feet, I'd hate to see you have to stand in the background. You say, well, what would cause something like that? Well, what would cause it is if we would lose our reward if we don't abide in Him. Now you say, what does it mean by abide? Well, that word abide, you understand, it's a lot like the word abode. Abide, abode. Your abode is where you live. What it's talking about is you should live with Jesus. What it means is giving Him your whole life. Give Him your all. Everything you live for Him. Not a Sunday Christian only. Not saying, okay, God, I'll give you this part of my life, but you can't have that part of my life. Decide, listen, go all the way for Jesus. Go ahead, jump in and say, that's it. Lock, stock, and barrel. I hold back nothing. I live my life all day long for Jesus. See, when you hesitate giving Him your all, you lose the opportunity for greater reward. Somebody here will not get reward that is on the horizon because you will withhold yourself and not abide in Him. That's talking about not living your entire life for Jesus. Hey, in what area are you holding out on God? What area? Live it. Don't just be around it. Now, this is what we've said thus far. I said, how can we lose our rewards? Number one, we can lose it by following those that minimize Jesus or deceivers about Jesus. Secondly, we can lose our rewards by being men pleasers. Thirdly, we can lose our rewards by worshiping angels. Fourthly, we can lose our rewards by not looking to ourselves. Fifthly, we can lose our reward by not abiding in Him, giving Him our all, making Him our entire life. And then finally, and the very last point, we can lose our reward by backsliding. By backsliding. I won't read all the scripture, but let me give you one. Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's a reward. A crown's a reward. Says so you don't want that reward taken out of your hand. Now what's this talking about? This passage of scripture is in reference to the church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelation. They are given credit for their love and commitment to the Word of God. God here comes and says to the people in that church, He warns them not to backslide so they don't lose the reward that they've had for being a part of a red hot church. Now let me tell you all something. A lot of you, for the first time in your life, there's some of you got involved in this church and you started watching the bus ministry and you started watching the soul winning and you all of a sudden watched those Sunday school classes and the bus ministry, and for the first time in your life, you got involved and all of a sudden you're seeing people saved. And the people, this entire congregation, we are a great big family and there's a unit of us here and we're accomplishing some great things for God, and you are earning some rewards by being a part of an old time revival type of a church. And God said, whatever you do, Christian, don't backslide away from that where you're going to lose your reward. Don't lose that reward. And many of you, you've served Him now. You've accomplished some things. Don't quit. Don't go backwards. Hey, don't go back to some dead church that does nothing for God. Don't go backwards. If you're going to move up in churches, go ahead. I don't want you to stay. I don't want you to stay in a church that gets nothing done for God. If you're going to move up, if you're going to do more because you make a move, do it. But don't go backwards. And God is saying to the church of Philadelphia, whatever you do, don't go backwards. Don't go backwards. Listen, there's some of you have been serving God for a long time. Wow. I mean, if we started working our way around this auditorium, there are people who've been in the bus ministry for years and years and in this church for years and winning souls for years and Sunday school teachers for years, and you've stocked up reward after reward after reward after reward. Don't you think that the devil, he is shooting for you? Don't you think he would like to snatch all those rewards from you? Look, he can't take you to hell. He says, I can't take them to hell. So what can he do to you? Steal your rewards. He would like for you to go in empty-handed. He'd like for you to go into heaven saved. Sure, there's nothing he can do about that. But what would he like to do? He'd like to steal your rewards away from you. How? By you backsliding away from God, backsliding and watching all those rewards that you have earned go up in smoke. The prodigal son became backslidden. He lost a bunch of his rewards. He went out and floundered his inheritance. You find out the prodigal son also had, there was a brother that stayed home. And I'll tell you, if I were wondering who inherited daddy's business, it wasn't the prodigal son that inherited dad's business. It was the boy that stayed home and kept on serving God that got dad's business. Now, you say, well, what happened to the prodigal son? He did come home. I think he did begin to rebuild some reward in his life. But the one that stayed faithful, the one that stayed true to the family is the one that God gave the great inheritance to. And there are a bunch of you. You have opportunity. You've served God and you've got rewards stocked up. Hey, we recently watched the stock market kind of go through a crash and the downfall of the economy and investments are lost. I'll tell you something. Nothing that happens in the economy has anything to do with your rewards that are laid up in heaven. They're all just fine. You say, I just feel like I have nothing for my future. Hey, if you've been serving God, you've got crowns and you've got riches and you've got things in heaven that you've set ahead. Don't lose it. Don't lose your faith. Don't stop serving God. Don't stop getting people saved. Don't leave a church that will help you and grow you. And if you do, make it because you're going to go be more productive. I'd watch the average person leave a church like ours. Usually they don't go be more productive. They're less productive. Far less productive. Be careful. That's what happened to the church of Philadelphia. God said, don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. The Bible says, take heed that you do not alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. You look in Matthew chapter 6, you'll see that 7 times the word reward is used. God's pretty good to us. He paid for our salvation in full and gave it to us as a gift. He then turned around and said, now I'll let you serve me. Then he said, then I am going to reward you for serving me. What a good God. Let's not blow it. Let's keep the rewards. Tonight, I've showed you how we can scripturally lose the rewards. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to get born again. You could get started, get saved, and get started serving God and start gaining some rewards for your future. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we're going to have an altar call. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. There's some of you, you need to come and say, Lord, help me not to lose my reward. Some of you, you're slipping, you're backsliding. Come down here and get it straightened out. Come down here and get it straightened out with God. I believe there might be some that you need to come down here and pray and thank God for what he's done for you in the last many weeks in our fall program. Hey, some of you that have been working in that bus ministry, in that Sunday school class, in that nursery for years, whatever you do, don't backslide now. Don't backslide now. Oh, keep it going. Keep it going. Maybe you need to come down and say, God, I need an extra energy. I need an extra touch from heaven so I can be faithful. I don't want to lose my reward.